Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. How to Eat an Elephant One Voter at a Time by Sarah Longwell is a contemporary political strategy book focused on American voters, democratic coalition building, and the challenge of countering authoritarian populism. Longwell, known for her work with the Bulwark and the Focus Group podcast, grounds the book in years of qualitative voter research rather than in campaign theory alone. Its central material comes from extensive focus groups with Republicans, Democrats, independents, and politically displaced voters, making the book both an analysis of public opinion and a practical guide to persuasion. The title frames political renewal as incremental work, pursued one voter at a time, rather than through a single slogan or institutional fix. The book also draws on Longwell's own trajectory from Republican operative to prominent anti-MAGA strategist, giving the argument a personal but policy-oriented structure. Its purpose is to explain how pro-democracy forces can listen better, communicate more effectively, and build a broader political coalition. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, focus groups is a window into voter psychology. The defining feature of How to Eat an Elephant is its reliance on qualitative voter listening. Longwell is not primarily presenting a statistical forecast or a conventional campaign memoir. She builds her argument around what voters say when they are asked open questions about politics, leaders, institutions, identity, and the future of the country. This method matters because it captures emotional reasoning that polling often flattens. A voter may support a candidate for reasons that appear contradictory on a survey, but become more understandable when heard in conversation. Longwell treats these contradictions as politically important rather than as evidence that voters are irrational or unreachable. The focus group approach also shifts attention away from insiders who debate messaging in abstract terms. Instead, it places ordinary voters at the center of strategy. The book suggests that persuasion begins with listening closely enough to understand how voters describe their own anxieties, loyalties, resentments, and hopes. Its contribution is not that focus groups are new, but that Longwell uses them as a sustained civic diagnostic tool. The result is a voter-centered account of American politics that emphasizes language, trust, and emotional credibility. Secondly, building a pro-democracy coalition beyond partisan comfort zones. A central argument of the book is that defeating authoritarian populism requires a coalition larger than any existing partisan base. Longwell frames the challenge as political. Cultural and institutional pro-democracy forces must attract voters who disagree on many ordinary policy questions but share an interest in constitutional norms. Political pluralism and accountable government. This makes coalition building more difficult than energizing a single ideological camp. It requires speaking to disaffected Republicans, mainstream Democrats, independents, and voters who feel alienated from party labels altogether. The book treats these politically homeless voters as strategically important because they often resist both MAGA politics and the language of progressive institutional politics. Longwell's emphasis is on breadth, durability, and seriousness. A coalition cannot be built by assuming that voters will automatically reject anti-democratic behavior once it is named. It has to offer a credible alternative that feels connected to everyday concerns, including economic security, public order, community identity, and national stability. The book therefore presents democracy not as an abstract slogan, but as a practical political project. Its coalition logic is less about purity than about assembling enough people to defend democratic rules while still acknowledging real differences among them. Thirdly, Longwell's insider-outsider perspective on the Republican Party. Longwell's personal political history gives the book a distinctive vantage point. She writes as someone who worked within Republican politics but later became one of the most visible critics of the MAGA movement from the center-right. That background allows her to examine Republican voters and anti-MAGA conservatives without treating them as caricatures. It also gives her critique of authoritarian populism, an insider's understanding of conservative media, partisan identity, and the incentives that shaped the modern right. The book's relevance depends partly on this position. Longwell is not simply urging Democrats to campaign harder, and she is not writing from a detached academic distance. She is analyzing a party and movement whose language, grievances, and strategic habits she knows closely. This matters because many books on polarization describe ideological separation from the outside. Longwell instead focuses on how voters move, rationalize, hesitate, and sometimes break with former loyalties. Her own identity as a lesbian Republican turned anti-MAGA organizer also complicates simple political categories. The book uses that experience not as memoir for its own sake, but to explain why persuasion sometimes requires speaking across identities and histories that do not fit neatly into standard partisan narratives. Fourthly, communication infrastructure as a democratic battlefield. The book argues that message quality alone is not enough if pro-democracy forces lack the channels to deliver it repeatedly and credibly. Longwell points to the political right's long-term investment in media ecosystems, narrative repetition, and alternative communications networks as a major structural advantage. Her response is not merely to demand better advertisements during election season. She emphasizes the need for durable infrastructure that can shape political understanding before voters enter the ballot booth. This includes trusted voices, independent media, repeated narrative framing, and communication that does not depend entirely on traditional party institutions. The reasoning is straightforward. Voters absorb politics through habits of attention, community cues, podcasts, social media, television, and personal networks. If one side dominates those channels, factual rebuttals and campaign messages arrive too late or feel alien. Longwell's focus on communication infrastructure distinguishes the book from works that treat persuasion as a matter of finding the right phrase. She is concerned with the environment in which phrases become believable. The implication is that democratic renewal requires building institutions of explanation, not just reacting to the latest controversy. Effective communication must be persistent, culturally fluent, and capable of reaching voters outside elite political spaces. Lastly, incremental persuasion rather than instant political transformation. The title's metaphor captures one of the book's most practical commitments. Large political change is achieved through manageable, repeated acts of persuasion. Longwell resists the temptation to describe American politics as fixable through a single candidate, platform, lawsuit, or viral message. Her focus on one voter at a time reflects a theory of political work rooted in patience and accumulation. This is important because the problems she addresses, including polarization, distrust, and the normalization of authoritarian rhetoric, developed over years. They cannot be reversed by moral clarity alone, even when moral clarity is necessary. The book, therefore, treats voter contact, message testing, listening, media building, and coalition maintenance as ongoing disciplines. It also acknowledges an implicit limitation. Persuasion is difficult in a fragmented information environment where many voters distrust institutions and consume politics as identity. Reinforcement. Longwell's approach does not promise universal conversion. Instead, it asks which voters are reachable, what concerns they actually express, and how democratic politics can become credible to them. This makes the book more tactical than utopian. Its optimism is conditional on work. The democratic side must organize, listen, communicate, and persist long enough for small shifts to become politically meaningful. In conclusion, How to Eat an Elephant is best suited for readers who want a practical understanding of American political persuasion rather than a purely ideological critique of the Trump era. Campaign staff, activists, journalists, civic organizers, donors, and politically engaged readers are the most obvious audience. But the book also has value for anyone trying to understand why voters often resist the explanations offered by party elites. Its practical benefit lies in its attention to how voters talk in their own terms, how coalitions are built across discomfort, and why communication infrastructure matters as much as message content. Intellectually, it stands out by combining qualitative voter research, center-right anti-MAGA experience, and a strategic account of democratic resilience. Compared with many books in the politics category, it is less focused on diagnosing institutional collapse from above and more focused on the mechanics of persuasion from below. It does not appear to present democracy as an abstract civics lesson or campaign messaging as a cosmetic exercise. Instead, it treats voter listening as evidence, coalition building as discipline, and media strategy as infrastructure. That combination gives the book a distinctive place among contemporary works on polarization, populism, and democratic renewal. Its core appeal is its grounded insistence that political repair begins with understanding the electorate as it is, not as strategists wish it were. If you would like to support Sarah Longwell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.